The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Sukkah has been dedicated by Celia and Isaac Jamal, Hashem Alehem Yehyu Amen, for the Hatzlecha of their dear children. May they see much nachat from all of them. May they all grow up and get married in the right time and have children healthily, happily, with beracha v'atzlacha. And may they see descendants and descendants of their descendants. Ad bi'ad goel sedek. Amen. The Masechet has also been dedicated La'ilu Nishmat Sarah Bat Adel Ruach Hashem Tanihena Began Eden. Amen. Again by Celia and Isaac Jamal. Tisku L'mitzvot.
Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Isaac Shehbad in honor of his parents Jack and Marilyn. Hashem Alehem Yehyu. Amen.
Daf Mem Aleph. Today's daf is being studied the Ilu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied the Ilu Nishmat Amenuhemet Sheneftered Bekitsuri Amin Veshanim Mazal Bat Frida. Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied the Ilu Nishmat Sarah Regina Bat Sarah Bat Regina Malka. This is Sarin Katan, Alei Shalom. Ruach Hashem Tanihena Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied in Fuas Shilema, Hacham Ovadia Yosef Ben Gurjia, Elna Refanado Betach She'ar Chodei Amo Yisrael. Amen. We begin today's daf on Mem Amud Sheni, right on the bottom line, starting with the words Amar Rava. We learned in the last piece, we had a Mahloket, regarding between Tana Kama and actually the Bimi Ir and Hakamin regarding the laws of Shemitah, Perot Atzei of Shemitah, and Ma'aser Sheni, whereas the Bimi Ir says you're able to make a Hilul on animals, which means whether they're alive or whether they are already slaughtered, you could transfer the Kiddushah of the Ma'aser Sheni to the animals, or the kedusha of the perot shvi'it to the animals, whether they're alive or slaughtered. Whereas Hachamim came along and said, no, only on slaughtered animals, not on live animals. And we explained that the reason why they cannot do it on live animals is because by ma'aser sheni, the law is you have to give your ma'asrot in the right time. You're not allowed to hold it by you. I'm worried if a guy's a live animal, he might end up putting it in his herd in order for it to reproduce. And therefore, you have a problem. The gabesh shvi'it, also we learned that you're not allowed to store the kiddushah of shvi'it. It has to be eaten that year. It has to be used immediately. And therefore, we're worried if he's going to transfer the kiddushah to the animal. So now the animal is going to put it in his stable. He's going to try to reproduce it. It's going to be asur as well. So now on that machloket, Rava comes along and explains. Amar Rava, machloket bizcharim. The whole machloket between Rabbi Meir and Hakamim is by male animals. Because male animals obviously don't reproduce. So the opinion of the Hakamim is they make a gezerah. Zecharim atu nekevot. Okay, aval benekevot, but when it comes to female animals, devrei akol al shehutin mitchalelin al hayin en mitchalelin. Which is when it comes to live female animals, everybody agrees that you cannot make a halul. Why? Gezera shem yigdal mehen adarim. Because the concern is that you might put them in your herd and you might use them to reproduce. So therefore, the vagas is a very important detail into this machloket. By females, there is no machloket. Everybody says as soon if it's live. However, by Zecharim, that's where you have the machloket, you make a gezerah or not. And now we go back to the original machloket that we had above between the Bilazar and the Yohanan. The machloket we had on the last daf is in the way Shvi'it, Perot of Shvi'it are able to be the Kiddushah transferred off them. Now when we say transfer, that's a light usage of the term transfer, because you really can never transfer the Kiddushah off of Perot Shevi'it. The Kiddushah always will remain on the Perot. It just makes the monies or whatever you're transferring as well Kodesh. We had a Mahloket between Rabbi Al-Azhar and Rabbi Yohanan. Rabbi Al-Azhar said that the only way you can transfer the Kiddushah from Shevi'it is through a sale, through selling it. And he learned that from Simuchim, because when the Torah talked about Yovel, which is similar to Shemitah, right after that it says the Pasuk, V'chi temkor memkar, when you sell. And therefore, when you sell something, so there were the monies that are bought from the, when you sell Perot Shevi'it, those monies become Kodesh as well. Whereas Rabbi Al-Azhar, sorry, Rabbi Yohanan, came along and said, no, not only through Memkar, selling, but also through Halul, which means you could take the money itself, you don't have to sell it, and transfer the Kiddushah to the Shevi'it, to the money, and the money will become Kodesh as well. And he also had his source actually was the word Kodesh, because the Torah refers to the Yovel as Kodesh, and just like Kodesh, you're able to transfer Kiddushah from an animal to money without a sale, so therefore that's his source. So now the Gemara says, Amar Rav Eshe, Rav Eshe is going back to that Machloket Rabbi Al-Azhar, Rabbi Yohanan, is going to give us a little interpretation. Amar Rav Eshe, Machloket Bepri Rishon. The Machloket is only discussing over here the first fruits, which means the Perot of Shevi'it themselves. Which is, in that case, Rabbi Al-Azhar said, you can only transfer the Kiddushah from first fruits of Shevi'it through a sale. However, Abal Befrisheni, but once already it's the second fruit, which means, let's say already you transferred the Kiddushah of Perot Shevi'it onto different fruit, okay? Different foods, let's say, okay? That's considered Prisheni. When it comes to Prisheni, Devrakol Ben Derech Mekah Ben Derech Elo, then everybody agrees on the second fruits already can be transferred, whether through a sale or through Hilul. Okay? Rashi tells us, Prisheni, Demeshevi'it. Right? Prisheni would be considered the monies. Which is, once already you have the monies of Shevi'it, that's considered second. Right? The Perot are the first. You transfer it to the monies. Now, once you have these monies, whatever you can do subsequent to those monies, whether you sell it, or I mean, whether you use it as a purchase to buy more stuff, or you use a regular Hilul, then everybody will agree, even Hilul, the monies, the Kiddushah will transfer from the monies to the subsequent item. Ben Derech Mekach, Ben Derech Hilul. Oh, the Gemara says, wait. If you remember, when we bring a Braita to support Rabbi Elazar's opinion, right, Rabbi Elazar's opinion was only through purchasing. So what was the Braita's case? The Braita's case was like this. Dakach lakach. If you remember, the case was a guy had Perot Shevi'it. With the Perot Shevi'it, he went and he bought meat. Okay? So now we said the meat has Kiddushah. And then he took the meat and he went and he bought wine. So we said, well, the Kiddushah goes off the meat and that goes to the wine. And with the wine he bought oil. Right? So the point is, that's considered always purchasing, right? Lakach, lakach. I keep on saying he bought. Now hold it. If you're telling me, Rav Asher, that once already it's the second item, it could become Kodesh not only through a sale. It can come Kodesh even through a Hilul. So why did the Braita say Lakach? Once already a second item, even through Hilul. That's what Rav Asher is explaining. So the Gemara says, you're right. Aidi de Tana Resha Lakach, Tana Name Sefa Lakach. So Gemara says it's Lav Dafka. So since already the first case, right, was Lakach, so therefore, once it comes to the second items in a Chename, it can be Lakach or Hilul. But since it started the Braita with the word Lakach, so therefore the Braita also continued with the word Lakach, even though the implication at the end of the Braita is not correct, because really it can be Lakach or Hilul, but it's Lav Dafka. Right, we just picked an ID, the Tari Desha. The Kibbutz says, okay, hold it. Now Ravina asks a question to Rav Asher. Mi sheyesh lo sela shel shevi'it. Now here's the case. A guy's got a coin it's has the kedusha of shvi'it. Ubikesh likach bo haluk. The guy wants to buy clothes with it. Now we know you cannot buy clothes because the Torah says you can only use the perot of shvi'it le'ochla to eat it. Now clothes obviously is for storage because clothes last for a long time. The ochla is immediate use, eat it right away. So really you're not allowed to buy with the pit, with the money of shvi'it clothes. So the Gemara is going to give an etzah, how you get around it. How you get around it. Kesa yase, what should he do? Yelech etzel chenvani haragil etzlo. Which means you go to a storekeeper, that's your friend, that'll do you a favor. Okay, haragil etzlo. He takes care of you. Ve'omer lo, and you tell him the following deal. Ten li besela perot. Do me a favor. I want to buy fruit from you. Okay, so he gives him the selah. Venoten lo, he gives him the selah. Okay, now he buys the fruit. Now these fruit have the kiddushah now of shvi'it. Yeah, of course, because you transfer it. The money is Kodesh, and now the fruit are also Kodesh. Okay? The money is selah. Wait, the money is the money of Shemitah. He sells it he buys with the money perot. Now the perot have the kiddusha. Now vechozer. Now what does he do? Veomer lo. He tells him, "Hare perot alalu netunim necha bematana." You know what? I'm giving you back the fruit. He gives the storekeeper back the fruit. I'm giving it to you as a matana. Now vehu omer lo. And the storekeeper then tells him, "Halecha sela azu b'matana." And you know what? I'm giving you back the sela as a matana as well. You can take back your coin. Now, once he gets back his coin, the coin is cholin, right? Ve'ala lokeh ben mashirze. And now the guy can buy whatever he wants.
Nice.
Let's read Rashi. Rashi says, "Hare perot alalu shemachat li sheayu shel cholin v'nichnesu lekdushat shvi'it netunim lecha b'matana." Now, ve'ochel otam b'shvi'it. Now, the storekeeper obviously has to now treat these perot b'shvi'it. V'achen v'ani omer lo v'ani noten lecha sela cholin zeh sheyatza lo cholin b'matana. Which means, I'm giving you the sela, now it's cholin, I'm giving it as a gift. U'bav lokeh me'oto sela kol mashir tzeh v'amvini yo'ochel ha'perot b'torat shvi'it. So that's the case. Now, Rabbi Naz is going to ask a question on Rav Asher's rule. V'ahacha the peri sheniu. Here we're talking about a sela. Sela is already considered the second item. Not the perot. Yeah. The perot already were transferred to
the money.
Money, right? Viketani. And how does it say to get it off? Derech mekach in. Derech lo. Which is, why did you have to go through this whole thing? Let the guy who wants to buy clothes with this money, let him make the transfer in his house. Let him take his money, right? Let him take perot. Let him transfer the kedusha of the damim to the perot, and now the damim will go to become cholin. Right. What did you have to give a case where he's got to go buy perot? Ela, you see what? That when it comes to
transfer,
even perot sheni, even when it comes to second items, the only way
Mecca
you can do it is through Mecca. You wanted to tell me when it comes to perot sheni, everybody holds you can even do it through halul. It's not so. You see the opinion over here that even though this is the perot sheni, this is the monies, still the only option to give it up was what? Through a purchase. So Rav Asher, your rule is wrong. That's Rav Yonah's question. Look at Rashi. V'ahacha. Rashi. V'ahacha deha sela prishiniu. Right? This money over here is considered prishini. Deme shvi'it meketani de tzarik lelech etzer hanvani olotzion lecholin derek meka'omemkar. Alma b'frishini nameh ika man de palik. His opinion that holds his argument. Diav is sagi b'derek halu. Because if you tell me halu is enough when it comes to prishini, lami yelech etzer hanvani. Yikach perot cholin shishlo bebeto shaves tzviyacholin wachalim yukha petot tzviyai. That's why I let him make the transfer to home. So he was Ela Barav Asher. So Rav Asher changes his statements is like this: Machloket bepri sheni. That's where the machloket was. Davka by pri sheni. Do you say davka by mekach or even chilul? Ava bepri rishon, but by the actual perot themselves, devrakod derech mekach in Derech Elulo. There, everybody's going to say, but the Perot can only use it Derech Mekal. So therefore, he changes it. Oh, so the Gemara says, hold it. Now, obviously, you have to say, Rav Asher, not just reversing his opinion, obviously, Rav Asher knew that there was a certain statement said regarding this machloket. So originally, he thought it was said this way. When they proved him wrong, okay, then the statement must have been said the other way. Rav Asher had a tradition that the machloket was restricted to a certain case. Now, the Gemara says, hold it. Ve'ai diktani echad shvi'it ve'echad ma'aser sheni. Says, what are you talking about? We learned above in the Braita. We brought a Braita to support Rabbi Yochanan. Right? Rabbi Yochanan's opinion was what? That you could do it either through Mekah or you could do it through Hilul. And what was his proof? We brought a Braita that you have Ma'aseh Sheni or you have Perot Shevi'it. Okay? You're able to transfer the Kiddusha, Hilul. Transfer to animals. Okay? You're able to make Hilul. Hold it. Perot Shevi'it, that's Piri Rishon. You're telling me not of Hashem that when it comes to Piri Rishon, everybody holds you got to do Mekah. What do you mean? The whole Paraita to support Rav Asher, Rabbi Yochanan was a case of Hilul by Piri Rishon. That's how he answered that. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? My Shevi'it, the Me Shevi'it. Well, we said Shevi'it in that Paraita. You thought we're talking about the fruit of Shevi'itah? No. We're talking about Piri Sheni. We're talking about the monies of Shevi'it, which means you had money of Shevi'it, was Pri Sheni, then already that's the Mahalokin. The Yochanan will say you can make a Hilul. So the Gemara is going to prove, how do you know when it says Shevi'it, it means Demeh? So it says, because if you're not going to say it like that, Ma'aser, Ma'aser Mamash? What do you think? When we're talking about Ma'aser Sheni also, do you think we're talking about Ma'aser? Mamash, actual fruit of Ma'asir Sheni, can't be, because the only way you can transfer Ma'asir Sheni is not to an animal. You can't transfer, you got to go to a coin. So therefore, must have been talking about when we said Ma'asir Sheni, you're talking about you had the coins of Ma'asir Sheni. Just like you had the coins of Ma'asir Sheni, so too you must have the coins of Shevi'it. You have to have a picturesque coin, and you collect the coins. It's not that you'll gather the coins, and you have the coins of Ma'asir Sheni. Ela demeh Ma'asir. Must be the monies of Ma'asir. Demeh Shevi'it. So which means, bottom line, the Vashir's interpretation is he restricts the Mahloket Dafka to the case of Perot Sheni. However, Peri Rishon, everybody's going to hold that. What? Dafka through Mekah. Mishnah continues. Barishona, Ayal Lulav Nital Bamikdash Shiva. So originally, the Lulav was taken in the Mikdash for 7 days. Okay. The pasuk says, "Usmachtem lefnei Hashem Elohechem shivat yamim." Okay, only lefnei Hashem Elohechem in the Mikdash. Ve'lo bigbulin, meaning outside the Beit Hamikdash, even in Yerushalayim, it was only taken one day. Ube Medina. The Mishnah continues, "Yom Echad." Meshehara Beit Hamikdash. Once the Beit Hamikdash was destroyed, Hitkin Rabban Yohanan ben Zakkai Shiel Ulav Nital BeMedina Shevaa Zechel Hamikdash. So therefore, the Yohanan made a takana that after Hurban, that we take the lulav for 7 days Zechel to the way they did it in the Mikdash. And the Hadush even in the Medina, even outside of the Beit Hamikdash area. The second takana, he said, "V'sheye yom henef kodo asur." What is yom henef? That's the second day of Pesach. That's when they take the korban haomer. Okay. Now, on that day that they bring the korban haomer on the second day of Pesach, that's when all the old crop becomes permissible to eat. So now Rashi tells us that what exactly his takana was. Rashi. Yom Enef, actually is the waving, which is to wave the Omer. She Yom Enef, she the Omer, Da'inu Tetzayin B'Nisan, the 16th of Nisan, Kolo Asur B'Hadash, which means you're not going to be able to eat the new crop
until this,
the entire day, which is until sunset of the 16th. Ube'od HaMikdash Kayam, now when the Beit HaMikdash was around, Mishkarev HaOmer, Ayu Ochlim Hadash, B'Bayom, whenever the time they brought it early in the morning, they were able to eat it in the morning. Because we have a stira in the Pesukim regarding the Omer. One Pesuk says, Ad Bi'achem, which means the pasuk is until they bring it. Which means if they bring it in the morning, you can eat it in the morning. Ushaharav abayit mutar minat Torah meshiir amizrah. Now, really, when the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, according to the Torah law,
yes,
you're allowed to eat from the morning. Means right from sunrise, you're allowed to eat. Kedama b'menachot, katu b'haromer ad etzem ayom hazeh. Etzem ayom hazeh means from the beginning of the day, which is da'enu he'ir ha'mizrach. V'katu v'had omer ad ha'biyachem. And what purpose did they bring it?
Yeah,
in the beginning of the day, what did they bring it? Ha'ketzad b'zman di'ika omer ad ha'biyachem. And the Tanna is about the Mikdash, so then you can't eat the new crop until they actually bring it. U'bezman de'leka omer ad ha'etzem, until the day itself. And the Hadush of Rabbi Yohanan was ve'asar ben Yohanan mezakei alim kol ayom. He said, no, the whole day is asud. Now the Gemara will explain why. Comes the Gemara and says, Minadlan de'avdinan zeche lamikdash. Who says that you have to make a zeche lamikdash? Did you tell me that what? That for the dulav, they did 7 days zeche lamikdash.
Right, why?
Where do you see that you have to even make an anyan for zeche lamikdash? So the Gemara quotes say, Pasuk. Amar Rabbi Yohanan amar kirar Pasuk in Yirmiyah. Ki ya'ale arucha lach. God says, I'm going to heal you. Because you were called a nidaha, you were called one that was rejected. Sion, he, regarding Sion, which is Yerushalayim, it is said, Doresh en la. Nobody is seeking it. So the Gemara says, Doresh en la, there's nobody seeking it. Mechlal de ba'yad derisha. Must be that they need seekers. And therefore, how do you seek Jerusalem? You do things to commemorate what they used to do in Eretz Yisrael. So that's the source that you see. You have to do things zecher lamikdash. You have to be doresh.
Nice.
You have to seek Eretz Yisrael. Now comes the Gemara and says, "Veshiyeh yom henef." Okay, he made the yom henef. They used to wave the tenufas, the 16th of Nisan, which is the people cannot eat the new crop until the end of the day. This is Dafka talking after the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. So Gemara says, "My Tama, what's the reason of Rabbi Yohanan ben Zakkai? Meira yibane Beit HaMikdash, because we're concerned that what? That Meira yibane Beit HaMikdash. Beit HaMikdash is going to be built speedily in our day. Ve'yomeru, what are the people going to say? Ishtakad milo achanu beir mizrach. They're going to say, well, last year, we know on the 16th we ate in the morning. We ate first thing in the morning. We ate at sunrise. We ate the new crop. Hashtaname nichul. So we're going to follow last year's precedence. Therefore, now the Beit HaMikdash has to be built. They're going to follow last year's precedence. Eat the new crop in the morning. But now it's a problem. Because once it's the Beit HaMikdash, you've got to wait until they actually bring the Korban HaOmer. They don't know. There was no Beit HaMikdash. He'ir mizrach etir. That all you needed is the sunrise. However, Hashtadika Beit HaMikdash, Omer Matir. Now that you're in Beit HaMikdash, it's not no more sunrise. Now you need the actual Amen. So therefore, in order they shouldn't make a mistake, so Rabbi Yochanan, you know what?
Nice.
Now there's no Beit HaMikdash. It's a suit to eat the entire day. Finish so you won't have a problem in the subsequent year. So the Gemara says, hold on, give me the case. When are you concerned about that the Beit HaMikdash is going to be built? The Ibne Emat.
Exactly.
When are you worried that the Beit HaMikdash is going to be built?
Yes.
If you're worried about the Beit HaMikdash is going to come down on the 16th of Nisan, which means if it comes down at 16, bottom line, once the morning comes, it's permissible. Which means, bottom line, once the morning comes, there's no Beit HaMikdash yet, so therefore it's mutas. So what's the mistake? Last year we ate early in the morning, this year we can also eat in the morning, which means if it comes from the 16th,
once daybreak starts,
and on, you have no problem. Daybreak is going to be permissible. Ela, you're going to tell me why?
The day before.
Also, tell me why? That has to be built on the 15th. Okay, so on the 15th, mehasot hayom ulalan tishteri. Why do you have to say the whole day? Which is, go till chatzot. You should say, you know what? Till midday. Why? Dehat tina, because we have a Mishnah, haruchokim mutarim mehatzot hayom. People that were far away from Jerusalem, that really didn't know exactly when the grand brought the Omer, when were they allowed to eat from the new crop? From chatzot. Ulalan. Why? Lefi she'en bedin metatzelin bo. Because we have a klal. Beit Din that's in charge of making sure that the Omer is brought,
you're
not lazy. So we know Hatzot is the cutoff point. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says, what are you making against that Omer? What are you worried about? It's going to be built before the 15th? Good. So we shouldn't treat worse than the people that were far away. The latest that the Korban could have been brought was what? Hatzot. Good. So therefore, The Rabbi Yochanan should have made a takana that what? That now that there's no Beit HaMikdash, no Rechatzot. Okay. That should be the cutoff point. So the Gemara says, nah, the concern was like this. The concern was like this. Lo tzericha, lo tzericha de ibne belilya. We're worried that it's going to be built at night, which means we're worried that it's going to be built. When did they bring the Qurban Omer? They brought the Qurban Omer on the 16th.
Right.
Good. Now let's say it's the bit that will be built on the night of the 16th.
Which means the night before.
Now, what's going to happen is that they're not going to have enough time to do all the processes of the Omer, because normally they would start from before. They would cut the Omer. There was a whole preparation. They had to sift it, like we learned 13 times in 13 different sifters. There was a whole process, like she will tell us in a moment. Now, if it's going to, basically that's going to happen at night, so maybe they're delayed. Because now they're behind the eight ball. They have to start doing everything now. So there's no way they're going to get it done by Hatzot.
Right.
And therefore, so that's the concern.
Yeah.
So therefore, you're going to say, oh, Hatzot, that's the cutoff. What do you mean it's the cutoff? That's the cutoff when they had a Beit HaMikdash.
Right.
But if the Beit HaMikdash is going to be built, it might be built at night. They're going to be behind schedule. The Korban's not going to be brought till after Hatzot. They're going to eat after. The whole day is going to be Asur. Inameh, Samuch Lishkiyat Hama. The way that she learns, it doesn't have to be brought at night. Even if the Beit HaMikdash was built close to Shkiyat HaHama on the 15th, same point. Which means it's close to Shkiyah, still you don't have enough time to make the entire preparations. Let's read the Rashi. Rashi says, Lo tziricha debne belilya kilomar leshimma yibane belilya hayish. That's the thing. When we say Shimma yibane Mikdash, meaning at night. Velo you pinuim niksura omer. They're not going to be ready to cut the Omer till close to the next morning. They would dry, that to dry the wheat first or the barley. That they collected in order to, you know, let the water drip off. They would have a special type of grinder. They would have different 13 sieves. Begasa, bedaka. And then the big ones, the small ones, the thin ones, fine. Here they weren't able to start early in the night. Here where they weren't able to start early, they're not going to be able to do it until Chatzot. Inameh, continue Rashi, Debne b'hamisan. Okay, even if it was built on the 15th, Samuk l'shkiyat hama.
Still.
All right, close to sunset. It's the same point. When you're bottom line, you're not going to have enough time to do the omen. Now, she has a question. V'ikashya, debelilya enu nivneh. What are you talking about? The Beit HaMikdash cannot be built at night. Why? The Kaim Alam B'Shavuot, the end Beit Binyan Beit HaMikdash B'Laila. Beit HaMikdash cannot be built at night. Fact, it's Gemara and Shavuot. Tichtiv U'Biyom Hakim. So first of all, first question that she says, we're talking about Laila. Laila the Tavir Binyan Beit HaMikdash. Now, Ve'lo B'Hamisar, furthermore, you tell me before sunset. That means it's going to be built on the 15th, right? Before sunset of the 16th.
Okay.
Correct? We can't be built. 15 is Yom Tov. Beit HaMikdash cannot be built on Yom Tov. Shehu Yom Tov. The Kavanah B'Shavuot and Binyan Beit HaMikdash Dochei Yom Tov. So what are you talking about over here? So that she answers a very famous answer. Hanimi Le Binyan Abanui Bine Adam. That's talking about when human beings are going to be involved in the building. Habal Mikdash Sha'atid. The future third Beit HaMikdash Anu Mitzapin. Banuy umshuchlalu. It's already built and fixed. It's done.
Prefab.
Yeah, yigalev yavom eshamayim. It's going to appear and come down from the shamayim. Shneiman mikedash Adonai konenu yadeka. It's gone out already. It's prepared already. So we have no problem. That was the way you don't build the katayla at night. You don't dohei yom tov to build. It's going to fall down from the shamayim. So therefore, you have no problem to say it's going to be done at night. Mam bar Yitzchak Amar Rabban Yohanan ben Zakkai. Beshitat Rabbi Yehuda Amar. De Amar Minat Torah Hu Asur. Which means like this. The Amar Bar Yitzchak comes along and says that Amar Rabbi Yohanan ben Zakkai, this that Rabbi Yohanan ben Zakkai said, that what? That Yom Enef is Kulo Asur. Beshitat Rabbi Yehuda Amar. He said it like the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda was a student of the student of Rabbi Yohanan. Okay, he was a Talmid of the Talmidim of Rabbi Yohanan. But Rabbi Yehuda was very vocal about this halakha. So let's figure out what Rabbi Yehuda said. Now, whatever Rabbi Yehuda said, that's what Rabbi Yohanan held, because he was saying it in the name of Rabbi Yohanan. Now, what did Rabbi Yehuda say? The Amar min Torah or the Asur?
Wow.
Oh, Rabbi Yehuda said, no. This thing that we say Yom Enif Asur, it's not a Gezerah, it's Asur min Torah. Why? Because the Pasuk says Ad Etzem Hayom Hazeh. The Torah says that you're not allowed to eat the Hadash, the new crop, until that day. So the way he learns Ad Etzumo Shel Yom, right, until the day itself of the 16th, Vekasavar Ad Ve'ad Bichlal, and he holds the day, including the day. So therefore, this is already Isur Torah. So what do you tell me that Banyo Haram Ben Zakai made a Gezerah Sheyom and Efkol? What are you talking about?
Pasuk itself.
This is a pasuk itself, as a Yehuda quoted. Hold it. Did the Yehuda follow the Yohanan Ben Zakai? What are you talking about? He argued on the Yohanan. Did not, because we have a Mishnah. Mishahara bet HaMikdash, Hitkin Rabban Yohanan Ben Zakai Sheyeh Yom Enef Kulo Asur. Rabban Yohanan made a Takana. That's with Rabbanan. The Yom Enef be Asur. Amalo Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says, what are you talking about? So Rabbi Yohanan, I mean, he didn't say to Rabbi Yohanan himself, he was regarding that opinion. What do you mean? Rabbi Yohanan is making takanot? It's a sumra Torah. Tehtiv ada etzem ayom hazeh ad etzumo shel yom. So the Gevara says, no. Rabbi Yehuda hu dekata'e ava. Which is, Rabbi Yehuda made a mistake. Hu savar midrabbanan ka'amad. He thought that Rabbi Yohanan was saying midrabbanan. Ve'lohi. Midoraita Kamar. We Rabbi Yohanan also held Midoraita. Itkin Kamar. But he says Itkin. Itkin is Masra Midrabanan. Ma Itkin Darash Vitkin. Which means it means Itkin. Not that he made it Takana. He was Doresh the Pasuk. And as a result, he established that the Torah's law is that you have to say Yom Enef is Kudu Asur. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda misinterpreted Rabbi Yohanan. Rabbi Yohanan says, came along and says, Hitkin Takara. So Rabbi Yehuda says, what do you mean? Hitkin Takara. Takara says, it's Sudoraita. Yeah, Rabbi Yehuda also says, Sudoraita. What does it mean, Hitkin? Darash. He gave the Darash of the Torah, and as a result of the Darash, Hitkin, he established a Torah law that indeed it's going to be a Surah. So therefore, it was really, it wasn't a Drabbanan. No. That was when there was Bet HaMikdash. When there was a Bet HaMikdash, the Rehokim were Asur until Chatzot. However, when there was no Bet HaMikdash, the Torah says Etzim. Etzim is Ad Ba'al Bechlal, you have the whole day. Therefore, it comes out, it's really Isur Doraita. That she says Vetkin. Darash. Look at Darash Vetkin. Darash HaMikra Ad Ba'al Bechlal. It was Doresh. Vetkin Nefishayu Regidim Nechol Hadash Mechatzot. Ulaalan Keshe Bet HaMishkeam Ad Akshem Osekad Rakem. Which is, the tikkun was, he had to change what they were doing. Because as long as it was a Bet HaMikdash, the people were going until Chatzot.
Right.
And then after Chatzot, everybody was eating. So he said, okay, Rabotai, now there's no Bet HaMikdash, there's a new rule over here. So Hitkin, meaning he had to change their practice based on the derasha that he made from the Pasuk.
Right.
Because now, to be honest, it's a time of destruction. So then we changed their practice from Chatzot, Hitkin, from Chatzot to Lo Day, based on the derasha from the Pasukim. Comes the next Mishnah. Yom Tov Harishon Shel Hag Shehaliyot B'Shabbat. Okay, you have the first day of Sukkot that falls out on Shabbat. So later on we're going to say that Lulav is Dohe Shabbat. Before we get to the Gezerot, Lulav is going to be Dohe Shabbat. But you can't carry. So how are you going to get the Lulav to the Beit HaMikdash? Okay, so the Gemara says, Kol ha'am molichim et lulevin lebet HaKnesset. Everybody would bring their Lulav to the Beit HaKnesset before, on Friday, before Shabbat. Lemachorat, the next day, Mashkimin, they would get up early. Ubain kol echad ve'echad, nobody would get up and go to the synagogue. Makir et shelo, they would recognize their own lulav. You have to have your own lulav. Venotlo, why do you have to recognize your own lulav? Let them take somebody else's. No, mepnei sha'amru hakamim, en adam yotzei yedeh chovato ביום טוב הראשון בדולבו של חברו. Because we know on the first day, קחתם לכם ביום ראשון. קרביוס, the Mishnah goes out of its way to say that they have to go identify their own דולבים. Because otherwise you're not יוצא. Okay. ושאר ימות החג, now regarding the other days of the holiday, אדם יוצא ידי חובתו בדולבו של חברו. But on the other days, you don't have to have your own דולב, it could even be borrowed, for example. So comes the Mishnah, Rabbi Yosef Omer, יום טוב הראשון של חג צריך להיות בשבת. First day is on Shabbat. ושכח, והוציא את הדולב לשוט הרבים, and you went by mistake, you carried the דולב in the public domain, פטור, בפני שהוציאו ברשות. You patur from a korban. Why? Because bottom line, since you did it l'shem mitzvah, right? You had to, you did it. You didn't have permission, really. You weren't supposed to carry it. But the point is, you thought you were doing a mitzvah, and since you were involved in doing a mitzvah, this opinion holds that the only time you have a korban is when you're doing it as a voluntary act. But when you think you're doing a mitzvah, this, so there's no hayuv on this, like the Gemara will say.
Patur,
okay? Patur, of course, he made it isur, but it's not being a korban. Right. Look at Rashi, shotsu b'reshut mitzvah.
Nice.
What's the logic? Shayat tarud b'mitzvah. The guy was preoccupied in doing the mitzvah. U'mehashev, and he's thinking, v'asukum me'el ha'sotai, he's wanting to do the mitzvah. U'metoch kachta'ah. That's why he got so flustered in his preoccupation. Veshakashu Shabbat. The Kasabar of Yosef Ta'ab in Bar Mitzvah. Veshagag in Bar Karet. Which is, you got involved in the Karet now, because Shabbat is Karet. Patu me Korban. Indeed, you are Patu from
Korban.
Okay? Okay. So comes the Gemara. How do we know that a person is not yotze on day one with the lulav of his friend? Detanu Rabbanan. We have a braita. Ulkachtem, right? The pasuk ulkachtem sheteh lekiha biyad kol echad veechad. So first of all, ulkachtem says everybody has to take. You might have thought maybe Betin takes a lulav for the whole kahal.
Right,
first thing, ulkahtem. It's got to be a public taking. Everybody's got to have their own lulav. Lachem, mishel lachem. That's what we learn. It's got to be yours. Lachem, it's got to be yours. Leotzi ta shaul ve ta gazul. Right, to exclude a borrowed lulav or stolen lulav. Mikan amru hakamim, en adam yotze yedei chovato biyom tov. הראשון של חג בלולבו של חברו אלא אם כן נתנו לו במתנה. Unless he gives them as a gift. Once he gives them as a gift, he owns it. Okay, now. ומעשה ברבן גמליאל ורבי יהושע ורבי אלעזר בן עזריה ורבי עקיבא שהיו באים בספינה. They were coming on a boat. ולא היה לולב אלא לרבן גמליאל בלבד. רבן גמליאל was the only one on the boat that had a לולב שלקחו באלף זוז. It was an expensive לולב. He paid 1,000 zuz for it. נטלו רבן גמליאל ויצא בו. It was the first day of סוכות, רבן גמליאל שק ללולב ויוצא בו. ונתנו לרבי יהושע במתנה. Then he gave it to רבי יהושע as a gift. נטלו רבי יהושע ויצא בו. רבי יהושע שק ויוצא בו. ונתנו לרבי אלעזר בן עזריה במתנה. He gave it to the next guy by the matana. Netalo Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah v'yatza bo v'natno b'matana Rabbi Akiva. He gave it to matana Rabbi Akiva. Netalo Rabbi Akiva v'yatza bo. Rabbi Akiva was yotzebo v'aziro l'Rabban Gamliel. And he returned it back to Rabban Gamliel. So the Gemara says, Lama li l'memar y'aziro? Well, he's got to return it. Which means, he gave it to him as a matana. What did you have to give it back to Rabban Gamliel for? Which means, what's the purpose? That's over. He did the mitzvah next. What does it say? And he returned it back to Rabban Gamliel. It's not to give it back to Rabban Gamliel. It's a matana. I didn't say borrowed it. He gave it a matana. What's a matana? A gift. He gifted it to the first rabbi. He owns it. So the Gemara says, Bilta agav urhei kamashmas. Teaching you another halakha. By the way, matana menat la'azir shem matana. He's teaching you a rule that a gift, that the one that's gifting it makes a condition that you have to return it after you finish, is considered a matana. And that's why it's saying, even though they returned it back to the Ben Gamliel, it's still his. Right. And therefore, it's okay. You might have thought, hey, listen, you're taking it back. What kind of gift is that? You don't own it, you got to give it back. No. Even though they gave it back to the Ben Gamliel at the end, still everybody was yotzeh. Because bottom line, a matana al minat la'azid is considered a matana. As she says, הקבש מעלן תרבן גם ליל על מנת שיעזרו לו נתנו להם אפילו האחיה ומתנה עד שיצאו בו דג את המתנה תודה הוא יוצא and if what's good עד אמר רבה הלכה את רוג זה על מנת שתחזרו לי my guy says here's the etrog I'm giving you on the condition you give it back to me נתה לו ויצא בו the guy took the etrog he was יוצא בו ויעזירו יצא. If he turns it, he's yotzeh. And the Gemara said, "Lo aziro, lo yatsa," because then you're a ganav. Because if you don't, that was a condition I made with you. I'm giving you this etrog, but tana amrachi azir. If you don't give it back to me, it comes out retroactively. The time you took it, you were a thief, and therefore you're not yotzeh boy. Dafka, you have to return it back. Otherwise, you're stealing the etrog. Now the Gemara says, "Lama li lememar shelekachot be'elif zuz." Now, what is germane to the story to tell me that Rabban Gamliel paid 1,000 zuz for the lulav? What's the purpose of that? To show us how much they endeared the mitzvot, which they were even willing to pay 1,000 zuz for the mitzvah. So comes again when it says, Amar le mor bar amemor le Rav Asher. Mor bar amemor taz Rav Asher. Abba, he says, my father, when he would pray the Amidah on Sukkot, he would hold the lulav in a throat, which means they loved the mitzvot so much they wouldn't let it go. Even when they were praying the Amidah, he's holding the lulav in the throat. Nashi, hava matzlebe, kishaya mitpalel, haya lulavo biyado mirov hibbato alav. He loved it so much. Haya mitpalel bo. So what are you talking about? Meti, we have a question. Lo yochaz adam tefillin biyado. When a person is praying the Amidah, he's not supposed to hold the tefillin in his hand. V'sefer Torah be'akon. No, should he have a sefer Torah in his Muslim when he's praying the Amidah? V'itpalel. Why? Because he'll be preoccupied with the from dropping the sefer or dropping the tefillin. He's not going to have kavanah in the Amidah. Right. Furthermore, v'lo yeshtin be'em mayim. A person obviously should not hold the tefillin when he's being mashtin mayim, velo yishan behem, lo shinat keba, velo shinat arai. Nor when a person is holding the tefillin, should not sleep at all with them. Why? You're worried the guy's sleeping is going to drop them. So the bottom line, the question is, how could you allow him to carry the lulav and the abidah? Aren't you also worried you're going to drop the lulav and the tuk? Right. So your mind's on the lulav and the tuk, you're going to lose kavanah
for
the prayer. The rashi. לא יוחז אדם יתפלל מפני שתרודו במחשבתו שלא יפלו בידו ויתבזו אלא become disgraced ואין דעתו מיושב עליו בתפילתו לא יישם בהם לא שתתקל או שתערי שמי יפלו מידו why you can't sleep with the tefillin in your hand because you write it by drop how kim na be shin da hay tkhal lo kabar ko ray ko tkhal be yad ma we learned above in the masaka but to my sleeping with the tefillin means not sleeping when you're wearing it when you're holding it then you can have it given shin give it that eye now ba ma shmu eh continues sakin ve kara ve kikar u mao hare u kayotse bem similarly a person should not pray with a knife in his hand. Why? Because he's worried about the knife might fall and he's going to cut his leg. V'ke'ara, or let's say a ke'ara of, let's say, food filled with stuff. Or kikar, a loaf of bread. Uma'ot, same thing, he's holding money in his hand. Your money's going to spill, it's going to drop, and the money's going to scatter on the floor. Again, all these items over here are items that are going to preoccupy him from the kavanah, the elukai yotzebem. So the kavanah answers, why is lulav different? Hatam lav mitzvah ninu v'tarid bihu. There, all the items he's holding, it's not a mitzvah. Right. And therefore, he's going to be preoccupied. Hacham mitzvah ninu v'lo tarid bihu. Here, it is a mitzvah. Told the lulav and it is a mitzvah. Therefore, he's not going to be preoccupied. What does this mean? Nashi. Lav mitzvah ninu leo azan. It's not a mitzvah told you to feed it on a knife during the Amidah. V'avien alin masah. Therefore, it's a burden. He's carrying it. Lefichak taru de masaham. That's already a hassle. The guy's holding these items over here. It's not a mandatory thing, so he's preoccupied. Now, En masa'a v'shimura kabed ale velo tarid. Which is when the guy's doing the mitzvah, he's in a different frame of mind, which means, on the contrary, he's happy. He's happy to hold the lulav, and it gives him more kavanah. I mean, he's able to have the right kavanah. It's not a burden to him. It's a pleasure. Jeez, if one thing, guy's carrying a knife, so now you don't want to be carrying the knife in the first place, right? So now already he's got all the knife, his mind's on the knife. It's going to take away from his amidah. But you're carrying something that he wants to carry. So therefore it's like, it would be similar, like if a guy's carrying a mahzor or a sidur during the amidah. He's carrying, the word's going to drop. What do you mean? The mahzor itself is asking us if you like, and read the words. So they're saying the same thing when you're carrying a lulav, and if it's by your hand, he's excited. Therefore, I don't know if he prays with more kavanah because he's holding the mitzvah. That's the way that it's ba wants to understand that Rashi's saying over here. That on the contrary, when you're doing the mitzvah, the havivut of the mitzvah is going to give him the kavanah. So comes the Gemara and says, Tanya, we have a brayta. Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok omer, kach hayam minhagan shel anshei Yerushalayim. This was the custom of the people of Yerushalayim. Adam yotze bebeto velulavo biyado. On Sukkot, he leave his house, he's got his lulav in his hand. Holech lebet hakneset lulavo biyado. Kore kriyat shema mitpalel velulavo biyado. Kore b'Torah. Now, when he would read the Torah, now there we have to put it down. Because when you read the Torah, you have to take the Torah and open it up and read. So you cannot be doing two things at one time. Or v'noset kapav. Although when he was making Birkat Kohanim, so he's lifting his hands, manicho al gabe karka. Temporarily, he placed it on the ground. And then after he would finish, he would pick it up again. Now she says, Kore b'Torah, sadik lani ha'olav defishe golez sifra patol. He would be rolling the sifra Torah and opening it up. Now, if you went, let's say, to visit the sick people on the holiday, or to console the mourners, he would carry the lulav in his hand. Now, even though there's no mourning on the holiday, if somebody passed away on the holiday itself, so they would go visit them on the holiday, just as if kavod, even though they don't start sitting until after the holiday, they would visit them, the nachem, to keep them company. So everybody, when they would go to make social visits, everybody had the lulav and etrog in their hands. When he came to the Beit HaMidrash, now already he cannot hold it when he's learning. Why? Because in the intent of the learning, he's going to drop it. He's going to get preoccupied in the learning. So what would he do? He would give his lulav to his son or to his servant or to his shaliyah to go bring it home. Why would he put it on the floor? Because in the Beit HaMidrash he's going to stay for a long time. So it would not be derech eretz to leave the lulav on the floor for a long time. So therefore when he's going to sit and learn, I'll go take it home and he'll go pick it up after. What's the hadush of all this story over here? Show you how zealous they were, how much they loved the mitzvot. They would always, they didn't want to put down the lulav and the trog the entire day. Baruch Adonai L'Olam. Amen.